If you'll open your Bibles there to the passage that was just read for us, Acts 27, we want to continue looking at this last study in the book of Acts as we close out a series that's been going on now for some time. This closing section of the book of Acts is one of the most dramatic renderings anywhere in the book, and for that matter, this has been said to be probably the most detailed account of an ancient shipwreck contained in any world literature. Life, in many ways, is like a long sea voyage. There are periods in which there's smooth sailing. There are times in which we are forced to sail against the wind. And then there are those storms of life that come our way. Many of the storms in life are storms in which we are unwilling participants, in which we are simply victims of the environment we find ourselves in. I know some are dragged through the storm of divorce because they have a mate that simply insists on it. Some have been plunged into the storm of ill health in spite of doing everything that person can to stay healthy. And we know that God is with us through these storms that we don't invite upon ourselves. But there are other times when we are in a storm, not one that is unavoidable, but one of our own making. Several years ago, a book was written and then a movie followed called The Perfect Storm, about a New England sword fishing boat, the Andrea Gale. And in October of 1991, the Andrea Gale, the captain was in desperate need of more finances, and he persuaded a crew to go out at that dangerous time of the year. And instead of going out to the normal fishing area, they went far out into the Atlantic. Storms had been forecast, and they went so far out that they finally got a wonderful catch, but the ice machine broke on the boat, and the fish couldn't be preserved unless they got back to shore quickly. But between that boat and their port was an intense storm that was in the making, a storm that would be known to meteorologists as the perfect storm. And those men made a decision, a calculated risk, to try to get through that storm and home in order to save their catch. Well, the end of the story is they didn't make it. And that's become a legendary tragedy in that part of the world. Some of the storms in life are tragic enough that we must deal with involuntarily. But what a tragedy it is when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm that is of our own choosing because of a bad choice or because we were willing to take risks that were far too great. Paul had appealed to Caesar. He had been in prison in Caesarea for a period of years, and now it was time for him to make the journey, not as a free man, but as a prisoner. And so he was placed on a ship. More than 200 people were on this ship, and they began the journey to Rome. They just start out. It's a bad time of the year, and the men on that boat made several critical mistakes in judgment, which plunged them into this terrible storm that we read of here in the closing section of the book of Acts. First of all, these men acted compulsively in what they did. Look in verse 9 here in Acts chapter 27. It says, "Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement." They knew that it was a bad time to be sailing, but they went ahead and took a chance in spite of what even then weather forecasters knew and could have warned about. Have you ever been in a season like, or in a situation like that where you were running behind and you were frustrated and someone said, well, let's do something even if it's wrong. And so you just forge ahead blindly. Every day there are individuals who quit school and who end marriages and who walk out on jobs on a whim. And they do it compulsively with no forethought or consideration. Proverbs 27:12 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. The captain was in a hurry. It was a dangerous season. And he decided, let's plunge ahead and take our chances. James, in his book, addresses this compulsive approach and offers a better way. James 4:15 says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Any big decision, any new decision, needs to involve prayerfully seeking the will of God in the matter. Not only did they start off at the wrong time of the year, that captain listened to the wrong advice. There in the last part of verse 9, it says, Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to this ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. In this world that we live in, you can always find someone who will give you the kind of advice that you want. If you want validation for an immoral lifestyle, you can find a counselor who will tell you it's okay to live that way. If you want to go down the wrong road, you can find a friend or a professional who will give the stamp of approval to that particular decision. They made another costly mistake. They made comfort their priority. In verse 12, it says that since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. They were in one harbor already, but they wanted to go on to a much better, more comfortable place to winter. They probably hadn't heard that old saying back then, any port in a storm. Some of the greatest storms that people sail into today are caused by an unwillingness to forgo immediate gratification, a desire to have everything now and have the best now. I want the good life and I want it now. And some folks have paid the price for the good life now, and they are so deep in debt that if they have a flat tire, it will break their monthly budget. Some people live with no wiggle room at all in order to have all the comforts right now, immediately. Proverbs 24:27 says, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. No, because of an unwillingness to have gratification deferred, there are those who don't have time to do anything except work in order to make the payments on all the debt that they have. They don't have time to be engaged in Christian hospitality. They don't have time to be involved in service or ministry at church. They don't have time to spend with their children and their family. And the storms sweep in, and whole families are washed away and lost. The last big mistake that this group made was that they went with the consensus. There in verse 12, it says that the majority decided that we should sail on. The majority vote carried. Paul was the dissenting voice. And if you want to sail into stormy waters, just go with the majority vote. The fact is that in many, many cases, if not most, the majority is in the wrong. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now that captain went into a storm, and it was a storm that would ultimately be of his own making. Through a series of poor choices and listening to poor advice, Paul became a victim in that suffering, along with all the other passengers on the boat. And it was through no choice of his own, Paul tried to persuade them to go in a different direction. We learn later in the text that there were 276 souls on that ship. And the storm grew worse and worse. Look in verse 18. "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss.'" You know, I don't know how they took that. It's not always helpful to say, "I told you so. I warned you, and you wouldn't listen." And Paul had told them so, and he had warned them, and they hadn't listened. And now they find themselves in this mess. But Paul goes on to explain that it's not just a matter of, "I told you so, now we're all going to die." Paul says, "I told you this at the beginning, and now I'm going to offer you hope that comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth." Paul goes on to explain to them there in verse 22, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" 276 souls at stake. And Paul now offers, in the midst of the wind and the waves, this tiny glimmer of hope to a group who had grown hopeless as the storm continued. They eventually would have to cut their anchors. And the text goes on to describe, after the 14th night, as they neared the island of Malta, how they cut their anchors. And when the sun finally came up the next morning, they could see a bay, and the ship was driven onto a sandbar. And then the huge waves coming in tore the ship to pieces. Those who could swim swam to the sandy beach. Those who couldn't swim grabbed flotsam, and they drifted to shore on the flotsam. And all 276 of the passengers on that boat were saved. Not one soul was lost. Now, some people have been forced involuntarily into the storms that you face in life. Some of you, though, face storms that you will readily admit have been of your own making. If only you had made wiser choices earlier in life. If only you had chosen to do it God's way instead of your own way, things might have turned out very differently. But I've got good news. And Paul here, I think, ultimately shares good news. The good news is this: it doesn't matter whether the storm you're in is one that was caused by someone else or whether you caused it yourself. Because the good news is that we have a God who will bring us through the storm even when we have created the mess ourselves. Jesus stands ready to rescue both victims and villains. He is ready to show His mercy to those who are deserving and those who are undeserving. All these people were saved from a watery death because of the hope that Paul had. He had been promised earlier. He had been promised by the angel now that he would survive that journey. He would go to Rome. He would eventually be heard by Caesar. And the angel confirms that and gives him confidence that he shares with the group. But Paul's anchor was one that held through it all. And I want you to turn now over to Hebrews chapter 6 as we near the end of this study. Hebrews chapter 6. And we read about another anchor in another place. The sea anchor hadn't helped them. They eventually had to cut the anchor lines as they neared the island of Malta. Those anchors had done them absolutely no good. And I don't know if you've ever been in a boat where the anchor's gone out and experienced an anchor that did not hold. I remember as a boy being terrified when we were in the White River with my dad, and we were nearing some rapids, and my dad said, "Quick, throw the anchor out," and we were from West Texas. We didn't know how to handle boats, and I threw the anchor out, and we just began to drag down the creek, and I was terrified. I thought, we're going over Niagara Falls here in a minute, and this anchor's not going to stop us. And I can only imagine sailors who have the anchors out, and the anchors are doing no good. Here in Hebrews 6, we read about another anchor. Down in verses 19 and 20, in fact, let's begin by reading in verse 16. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. God made that promise originally to Abraham. The promise carries through to us, and by two things. One, God promised. That should be enough. But not only did God promise, He did a second thing. He swore by Himself that He would honor that promise. And so by these two unchangeable things, we have the Word of God, a sure anchor. And then He goes on and explains in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. You know, any anchor is only as good as what it's hooked to. If your anchor hits a sandy bottom, that sandy bottom will not hold the anchor as the ship is moving. You want it to attach to some large rock that will hold your boat securely. And He explains that we have an anchor that is firm, an anchor that is secure, and whatever storms come, it can't be moved. And the only reason is because of what our anchor is secured to. He says there, we have this, again in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. We sang the song, we have an anchor. And it runs, the cables run from His heart to mine. And the picture here is of the temple and of the anchor going, the cords going right back into that inner sanctuary where none other than Jesus Himself has the other end of the rope. And I don't care what storm you're in, I don't care what caused it, whether it was somebody else or some circumstance or some bad luck in life, or whether you made a stupid choice and are reaping the consequences of your own action. We have a God who has promised to deliver us and see us through every storm, and He will hold that anchor safe and secure to which we attach ourselves by faith in Him. That's the hope that Paul had. That's the hope that those men on the ship eventually were persuaded to believe as well. They almost went the other direction as they got near Malta. Some of them were going to get off the boat and get into a lifeboat and try to make their way ashore. And the captain of the boat and the others, they cut the lines to the lifeboat. They said, no. Paul said, stay on the boat and you'll be saved. And they believed him. And they trusted in the God that Paul had talked to them about. And they all ate a meal together and fortified themselves and made it safely ashore. And so this morning, I just want to assure you that because of Jesus and because of the forgiveness that He offers and because of the fresh start that He allows, that no failure in our lives is fatal. And death for the believer is not final. And so we have a hope that will see us through every storm that Satan can throw at us. And in the end, will see us through even that storm of death. If this morning your life has been out of control, or if this morning you have some storm that you've been battling and you feel like there's no progress in sight, know this, you have a God who sees the solution. He sees the shore. He sees the day when the storm will end, and He will bring you safely there and bring you safely through whatever that storm is. If this morning you're not a Christian, we'll assist you as you respond in obedience. If this morning you need the prayers of God's people to see you through that storm, we'll pray for you. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing.